welcome to another episode of our podcast. My name is Anastasia. You have met my co-host Alexandra. I'm going to take over the podcast sometimes, and I'm super excited to be here. So today we are diving deeper into the world of breakups and healing and everything in between. And specifically, we are going to talk about abusive breakups and drama triangle concept, which is quite common in psychology, but I feel like it's much less talked about in our everyday life. And I think that this drama triangle idea can help people to identify abusive patterns of behavior in advance. So let me quickly tell my story. Right now I am happily married, but 3 years ago I had a terrible breakup, after which I couldn't even have relationship for a year and a half. And I have been dating this guy for a year, and even though I was the one who made the final choice to break up, during the relationships I was constantly facing mostly emotional and verbal abuse, but also physical abuse after we broke up. And let me tell you in more detail. So the person that I have been dating had this aggression attacks time to time, which were triggered by absolutely random stuff. It could be me sitting with another person in the cafeteria, it could be me going for a walk, it could be absolutely anything. But so it was not possible to predict them, they were absolutely random. But this all triggers led to my ex-partner being extremely aggressive towards me, and he was just spilling out this thousands of swear words and awful things he used to call me with literally no reason. And every single situation that happened like this was very painful to me and very hurtful. And each of these small situations, which was not small at that time, was a very big heartbreak for me. And at some point I was like, this has to stop. And I decided to break up, but this was not an easy decision. And I haven't done this, like I haven't decided to finish the relationship during this year, because this person had a very traumatic experience not a while ago before we started dating. So I felt like this was his just mental issue, and I could help him, I could heal him, and I could be this survivor and rescuer for him. But in reality, this was not the case. And I think that he just had an issue with controlling his aggression, and I just couldn't take it at some point. So this whole year was me justifying why should I stay with this person. And I actually thought that I loved him, and I could stay with him forever. But every single week this situation has happened, and also there was a COVID, and we have been having this few months of distance, and these situations were happening even more frequently, and I was crying all the time. And this is a very stressful period of time. And what helped me to understand that this has to stop was me admitting to myself and accepting the fact that I didn't love him. And in one day after this situation, I was all in tears after being called so many terrible things. I just wrote a note that I don't love him. I think I don't love him. And then it was, I think, 3 months before the breakup. Then each time when I have been thinking that I don't love him, or I have been telling someone that I don't love him, I've been writing the note, what I felt in this moment. So I've been writing like I feel like I hate him. I feel like I don't love him. I think we should break up. I always wrote it down every single time when I felt this. And after a while, after I think 2 months, my list was quite long. And this what kind of was a groundbreaking moment for me. I understood that the relationship is not going anywhere, and as I'm feeling so bad almost every single day, I have to stop this. And I said to him that I want to break up, and he actually faced it quite aggressively one more time, and he threw his iPhone on the ground, on the stones. He broke it to pieces, and I was so scared because I was the only one who was nearby and I didn't know what he would do. And afterwards it happened that we went to exchange studies together, and we've been already broken up with, but we had to talk because we were kind of in one group. But he used to push me and express this physical abuse. He didn't hit me, but he was pushing me constantly. He used to, again, emotionally and verbally, very aggressively express towards me. And when there were other people around us, he used to ignore me in front of others. And he even once spit it while I was walking in front of him. And I was feeling like I was nothing. I felt like I was worthless and I am not a human being that deserves respect. And thanks to my friends that were there, they didn't really pay attention to that. But when I talked to a few of them about that, they started mentioning that and they kind of protected me. And I was very scared because I didn't know what this person could do. So one of my friends, he actually protected me from him multiple times, and I'm really thankful. But this was a very stressful period, and it was very intense of emotions, and mostly it was fear. There were no good emotions, no nostalgia about the previous time and dating. Everything that was left is the fear towards the person that I faced every time he was aggressive towards me. So yeah, I think that journaling was the key. Like, I have never made a journal. I couldn't keep this, you know, like being consistent towards something every single day. But I felt like I had to type, like write it down somewhere to understand later, like for me, myself, a little later, to read it again and understand that it is not okay. And I also heard about the strategy to like how to understand that you have to break up with a person is every single time you cry or you think something like that you have to break up, you can light up a match from the box, and as soon as there's no matches left, that's the time that you have to break up. So I think that it's also very quite interesting strategy to face the fears and end the relationship that is abusive. And abusive relationship can actually manifest not only in the way it happened in my case, but in various ways. And it is very essential for everyone to understand that abuse is not only physical violence. For example, it can be physical violence, physical abuse, but also emotional abuse, verbal abuse. It can be even financial abuse when someone restricts another person to accessing their finances and controlling the money in the family. Also, it can be digital or online abuse, which is very common nowadays, like stalking, harassment, threatening through online media. It can be also isolation, and when the person over controls their partner and doesn't let him see friends, family. And another one, the kind of extreme one, is a sexual abuse, which is also unfortunately very common in our world. And it is very essential for everyone who faces any kind of abusive breakup or relationship to prioritize in first place your own safety and well-being. And I think that that's what I didn't do when I was in relationship. I was prioritizing my partner's feelings, and I was prioritizing his feelings and his, you know, this trauma that he faced. So I was like, no, I have to be nearby him. I cannot, like, and even though I felt very unsafe, I felt like every single aggression attack was something that can lead to him hitting me, and no one is around most of the time when we were together. So I was, I was feeling so helpless. And I also felt very stupid to talk to anyone about it, because I was like, this is something in between us. This is something I should keep between our relationship, because he is my partner. He's facing these aggression attacks. He cannot control them. So how can I tell anyone? And I felt like I couldn't tell anyone, and I didn't tell anyone, and I needed to take my time to tell only when I was already after the breakup with my friends, that I needed to be, I felt unsafe, and that I needed their help to kind of avoid the person for the rest of the time we spent during this exchange. And some things that you can do if you're facing any sort of abuse is to, first of all, reach out for support. You can always talk to your friends, family members, or therapists who can provide you this emotional support and guidance. It helped me a lot after I decided to tell my friends about what was happening. It actually made a huge difference, and I felt so much safer, and I felt like I was the person that had, you know, had community, had friends, and I was not the one who has to suffer for more than a year. And also, when you're facing abuse, any sort of abuse, think of the safety plan. You should develop some sort of a plan to ensure your safety, which could be finding a safe place to stay, changing the locks, or maybe altering location authorities if you fear for your safety. So you should do and prioritize as much as you can your own safety in any kind of abuse. You can also, I think that it's very important to seek professional help, like therapy, counseling. They're very beneficial in healing from this emotional scars and of abusive relationship. And connecting with support groups can be a very great way to kind of, they are very dedicated to help survivors of abuse, and they can help to provide this sense of community and empowerment, and you will feel like you're not alone, because you're not, and there are actually a lot of people around you that care about you. But when you are in this abusive relationship, you feel like you are the one who takes the responsibility, and there is no one around you. And these are the ways that you could make your life safer. And if you experience any kind of abuse, make sure to talk to other people, like tell about that to others. Don't be shy. Everyone would understand you and help you, and as much as they can, you would feel much better if you talk to others and also understand that it's not the end. You always have the way out of the relationship, and you shouldn't be scared. You have to be free and healthy and happy. You deserve this. So as I already mentioned, that during my relationship, I was facing constant verbal and emotional abuse in line with this aggression attacks that my ex-partner was facing. And I felt like I was the one who had to heal the person, and I was the one who had to save the person. But in reality, it was not the truth. And as I mentioned before, there is this drama triangle concept in psychology. So imagine a triangle with three corners, and each corner is a role. There were three roles: the rescuer, the victim, and their persecutor. So let's break them down. The rescuer. This is someone who rushes in to help others, usually without even being asked to do that. They might think they know what the best for everyone and can be a bit of controlling. They also often feel good about helping, but it can end up in overstepping boundaries. Another one is the victim, the second one. Victims feel always helpless, like lives always is against them. They often seek help and sympathy from others. Sometimes they unintentionally invite others to rescue them. So they may also avoid taking responsibility for their own problems. And their persecutor, this is role all about blaming and criticizing. Persecutors often point fingers, making others feel guilty or at fault. This is what was happening with my ex-partner. He was always a persecutor. He was always the one who was putting a guilt on me, and I was always feeling my fault. The persecutors also can be harsh and judgmental, and they might push others into this victim role, which I was, I think, feeling kind of that I was the one who had to face it. I felt more like a rescuer, I think, but my ex-partner, he was definitely a persecutor 99% of the time. He used to say that I'm a worst girlfriend. He used to say that I'm the worst person in the world, that everything in his life is bad because of me. And I took it very personal, and I was like, all right, I have to fix myself. But in reality, I did not have to fix myself. And yeah, it's very, very hard. But each person who faces abuse has to accept that they are facing abuse to overcome it. And why this drama triangle is a problem? This kind of drama triangle, persecutor, victim, and rescuer, this creates a cycle where people switch between the roles, these three roles. For example, the rescuer might try to help the victim. The victim might feel criticized and become the persecutor, while rescuer becomes the new victim, and the cycle just continues and continues. And it's like merry-go-round of conflict and stress. And when you understand that there is this three types of kind of abusive relationship that can be happening in your nearby, it can be also with friends, you can actually avoid it and face it in a better way. You can face people who behave in a specific role from this triangle by not being manipulated by that and by not following this cycle of drama. And the rescuer is frequently the one who is self-sacrificing, over helpful, like to be needed, and yeah, he is just the person who doesn't value other people's capacity. The victim is usually manipulative. He has this poor me syndrome, helpless, needy, and he always blames others for something. And the persecutor is openly or passively angry, aggressive, judgmental, bullying. Everything that I described about my ex-partner, to be honest. But yeah, these three roles are so common in our life. And when you understand that it exists, this concept exists, you can face it without being hurt and without creating a trauma. And to avoid this drama triangle, there are good news. You can break free from this drama. So there are a few tips. First is you have to set boundaries. You have to be very clear about your own boundaries, and you have to respect others' boundaries too. So don't rush as I did to rescue someone unless they ask for it. And also, if you feel like you are one of these roles, try to control your emotions and take responsibility for your own actions, and also kind of help, try to communicate with another person this situation that is going on, because both people are not happy. My ex-partner was also not happy to feel this aggression towards me, but yeah, that's what was happening. And another tip is to empower others. So instead of rescuing, you have to encourage others to solve their problems independently. So offer support, but let them take a lead. I think crucial tip is to take responsibility. If, for example, you notice that you are in the victim or persecutor role, take responsibility for your actions and emotions. Ask yourself, what can I do to change this situation? And it is in any situation, even if you're not in this drama triangle, practice healthy communication. Use I statements to express your feelings and needs without blaming others. This can actually help to break the cycle of blame. So healthy communication is a key to any kind of problem. If you have a healthy communication with your friend or with your partner, you can in 99% overcome most of the struggles. But if you don't have it, then it is really hard to keep this relationship healthy and mindful. And the last kind of tip is, it's best to stay out of drama. So you should just avoid dramatic situations or people who consistently pull you into this triangle. Focus on your own well-being. That's my, I think, key takeaway from this podcast. Your well-being is the most crucial thing for you. You should not ever prioritize other abusive behavior towards you over your own well-being. If you feel unsafe, if you feel stressed constantly and anxious, if you feel fear, if you feel like you've been humiliated constantly by your partner or friend, just maybe consider stay out of this relationship, because it might help you to grow and discover yourself better and just step out from this kind of this uncomfortable zone that became a comfort zone. If you step out, which is very scary, if you step out of it, you can face a beautiful world of healthy relationship, marriages, friendships. And this can be, I think that this is the key of the key kind of outcome and insight from this podcast. And yeah, I think that this was everything about my story and about some short, brief information about the abusive relationship and drama triangle. I hope it was interesting. And as a tradition, we are always having this meditation minute in the end of our podcast. Today, I would like us to try a new exercise, a breathing exercise. It is called square and or box breathing. So basically, we inhale for 5 seconds, then we hold it for 5 seconds, then we exhale for 5 seconds, and then we have a pause for 5 seconds as well. So let's start, and yeah, let's just take a moment for ourselves and kind of ground ourselves. Let's process our emotions and have this minute to acknowledge that we are feeling these emotions. Inhale. Exhale and hold again. one more time, inhale, hold, exhale, and hold. Let's repeat, inhale, hold, exhale, and hold. All right. Thank you for sharing this minute of meditation with us, and stay tuned for the next episodes. Take care and be kind to yourselves.